Perfect. So my name is Islam Goma. I'm system architect at Kivutu Solutions. I'm also MVP. I'm also joined with Igor Savchenko. Did I get this right?
Yes.
Igor from Via Code. And if you, if you use APM today, anyone using APM, Application Performance Monitoring? Awesome. Mm-hmm. So we have APM, we have Igor. Today is the best. If you have questions about APM, he is the guy that made it. And also, we have, I call him my hero, Chris Sampson. Chris couldn't make it today to Spain, but he really insists and made persisting requests to be online here with on link. Chris, do you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
You're awesome. So say hi.
Hi, this is Chris Sampson from Microsoft. I'm a senior hosting technology specialist with our United States Partner Hosting and Cloud Services channel.
Awesome. Right. So, first of all, you might ask yourself what we're doing here, right? So, we're talking about APM, we're talking about Azure, and we're talking about EC2. What? EC2 and Azure from one single pane of view. So, are we, what we're doing, right? And when I, Chris and Igor and me were talking how we're going to present this, we said actually we should maybe explain to everyone why we're doing it. So I believe the story comes that actually we, Chris initiated the request, or actually Avi Cook, Chris initiated the request with Amazon to get the management pack implemented to be INSCOM. And I'd like actually just to give Chris 2 minutes first to explain why we have EC2 today in SCOM. Chris?
Sure, thanks Islam.
No problem.
So I talked about, I'm part of the US Partner Hosting and Cloud Services channel. It's basically our service provider licensing agreement channel, and I'm not in the room now, but we basically sell software services through web hosters and cloud providers here in the United States, and we also have a global business as well. And one of our largest SPLA hosting providers is actually Amazon Web Services. And you know, we all know that they have a very large infrastructure as a service cloud. And it became very evident to my team that a lot of our enterprise customers that work with Microsoft as well as have workloads at Amazon wanted a way to actually manage their enterprise workloads such as SQL and Active Directory and Windows and CRM with System Center, specifically in this case Operations Manager. So what we did is we worked with a third-party development provider, Avaya Code, that Igor represents today. And they actually developed a management pack for Operations Manager that manages the Amazon Web Services infrastructure cloud. And you know, we were we got a lot of feedback from our U.S. partners, our U.S. Enterprise customers who desired this kind of feedback. And while it was a little bit different and not certainly something that I think a lot of people expected, it was the right thing to do for our joint end customers, both customers of Amazon and both customers of Microsoft. And over the last several weeks since TechEd United States in New Orleans, there's been a tremendous amount of support and a lot of affirmation of the work that we did with ViaCode and feedback from Amazon. And it's now part of the overall value proposition of System Center Operations Manager in terms of our hybrid cloud strategy. So that's really kind of the why as to why we did it, and I'll get into the exactly the what later on in the presentation, but I just wanted to give everyone an idea of why we sort of went into doing something like this. This was not written from the product team at Microsoft. This was written by ViaCode in working with myself, who's in field sales, and Amazon as a partner. I just wanted to be extra clear about that. But we did have some reference and some help from the operations manager team in terms of best practice and guidance. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it over back to Islam and Igor and let them go through the presentation and demo, and you'll be hearing from me a little bit later on.
Thanks, Chris. So today, as actually Chris mentioned, actually today we'll show you some of the EC2, and maybe that one actually will be the last part of our presentation. We'll switch gear a lot between me and Igor. I'll start first with explaining why we are actually need to monitor AC, Azure and so on. Then Igor will come and show you the setup and the monitoring and so on. So our agenda today is actually why we need to have monitoring and what's actually monitoring requirement and goals. Why actually monitoring is really important for your organization. And this COM 2012 Service Pack 1 as a centralized management. We're talking today about two different environment or two different partners like Azure and EC2 and also private cloud. So it's really important to have a centralized management to monitor your environment either outsourced and on the cloud or on-prem. Then APM monitoring essentials. And if you're really, this is the first time to know about APM, this is actually exactly the right place for you to understand how APM works from Eager. Then we'll explain more about actually the monitoring, the PaaS and IaaS, platform as services and infrastructure as services. Then I'll come with the Azure Management Pack explanation and why and what's different between the old version and the new version that has been released recently. Then we'll go a bit on extended environment monitoring, and I'll show you more stuff with the more management packs that we can get from above actually Azure and EC2 and so on. And I would like to, after that, to show you that with global service monitoring, you can actually see 360-degree overview for your application worldwide. Then we'll end up by Chris that actually will come talk about Amazon Web Services. Is everyone is okay with that? Are you okay with that? Perfect. Right. So when you talk about actually monitoring requirement, we really need to know to have a comprehensive monitoring and to know if our application is available. I want to know if it's up and down. I want to be proactive. And SCOM has been offering a lot of these capabilities today that actually let you know what. We are lowering disk. Make something. We have above the threshold from website connectivity. We need to add another web server or do something. Two, it's really important to actually have both capabilities for monitoring from the server side and the client side. And here actually what comes APM very clever in this, very intelligent to show you what's my client perspective when I actually run my application. Like most of the application today actually for monitoring show you what the server side is, but actually with APM I'll show you actually from, and actually Igor will show you how the, what is the client side that you, we call it UX, UCX from here. Then we need to talk about runtime and proactive monitoring for IT infrastructure as a whole thing, servers, switches, firewalls, and all of this. Then application and environment scalability, and prospect and provisioning. So we need to know with this as well. Then the best part that I like is you need to correlate between what's my consumption today from web services and SQL services, and how can I actually take this and assign it on the financial book. I want to say actually for my business line A, I'm using this resources and the servers that can assign this part of the financial part of the servers to the financial books and so on. Right, so SCOM 2012 Service Pack 1. Anyone today running with SCOM 2012 Service Pack 1 here? Right, awesome. So with SCOM Service Pack 1 today, SCOM offer health state. I want to know actually what's actually up or down. I want actually alerting if I really need to do warning, alerts, and so on. I'll be able to customize all this alerts. Then I need to see the performance metrics in SCOM. And I believe actually this is not new in SCOM. Actually, we have a lot of this actually since 2005 in SCOM. Then also SCOM offers the knowledge base, so you can actually, when you have an issue, you can actually put all your stuff in the knowledge base. That's just, I'm setting the stage for everyone if you don't know it, or the first time for SCOM, or actually operations manager, just let you know what SCOM does, but we're going to run very quickly to see some demos and good stuff. In addition to that, we got, as I mentioned, my favorite management packs, which is the APM Application Performance Monitoring, that Igor will come talk more about it. Then the Azure Management Pack, then Amazon Management Pack. So these actually two management packs, the last two management packs here, they're actually for the cloud services. If you have cloud services running on Azure or EC2, from one single pane of view, you'll be able to see your application and the status of them. Yours?
Yes.
All right. So from here, I'll hand this out to Igor. Igor will go deep dive on APM monitoring essentials. He will set the stage as well, and we'll go from ground up, explain how APM works. Then I'll come back talking about more about Azure Management Pack. Igor,
thanks.
Please.
Thanks, Aslan.
No problem.
I'm pretty sure some of you guys know what the APM is. There are lots of information across the web, different blogs, articles, videos, recommendation, tips, and so on. And a great starting point is the TechNet, which is full of materials. For example, it contains information about the configuration process, tweaking ops, installation, and so on, basic terms, and so on. And actually, APM is not a new thing for System Center Ops Manager community, because it was firstly introduced in System Center 2012, RTM, even not SP1. And also, it had some trivial introduction, some trivial migration to System Center, even in the previous standalone versions, known as Intercept Studio or Evicode. But for those unaware, we are going to explain the main concepts of application monitoring today, followed with a short demo how it actually works in real time and how it fits your expectations and needs. So APM, the acronym for Application Performance Monitoring, is a .NET application technology integrated to System Center 2012 and SP1 and formerly known as Evicode. But the name of the company it was originally built by and the company I reproduce here, I represent here. So in 2010, Microsoft acquired the project, the Intercept Studio, and started bringing APM into System Center. And the results of their efforts we now can see in System Center 2012 and SP1. Unlike debugging approach, APM is intended for the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week monitoring, even in production, because of two main reasons. The first one is significantly low performance impact. Actually, it's estimated, and it's about 10% of process time, processor time. And when we are talking about the impact, the overhead imposed by APM, mostly we will talk about processor time. It's not critical for memory. And you know, it depends much on the configuration you use. For example, in some cases, you may have a huge number of applications on the application box, and your configuration can be heavy. So you can specify additional entry points, requests to be instrumented, different methods. You can grab a huge number of parameters and arguments in runtime. In this case, the performance impact might be significant enough. But most likely, it's not more than 10% of processor time. And the second point why you can use this in production is it doesn't require source modification. It's profiling. It can be applied in real life cycle of your application. With migration to System Center, now we have everything inside one console, in some point of Ops Manager console. Including configuration templates, including all the views, different health state presentation from different levels, starting with distributed application and in terms of APM, that would be application group, the separate components, separate applications, application instances, and even transactions, the request. So you have the health state even for single request you specify for monitoring. All kinds of statistics, performance metrics, some kind of number of requests, number of performance and exception violations, percentage of performance and exception violations, and so on. Everything is currently inside one console of Ops Manager. APM supports two types of monitoring, server-side, which is IaaS-based, and client-side, CSM, client-side monitoring, or UX, user experience, which is end-user browser-driven. So it provides you the comprehensive view on both levels, the client-side perspective, the browser perspective, and the server-side IaaS. And everything is being configured within one monitoring template, and surely I will demonstrate it today. Also, APM brings some benefits and gifts for the managers as well, because it has built-in analytics reports and statistics. Just take a look at AppAdvisor. This is console, which is installed along with web console role of System Center of Ops Manager, and it also requires reporting role. Just take a look at those reports. But you know, EviCode was famous for its drilling down. It's not only the health state, it's not only statistics, it's not only performance metrics. You give the stacks, you give the requests. You can pinpoint what exactly inside request took so much, why I have performance violation, why I have exceptions. Also, we have all those opportunities today with APM. Now, the only one difference is now this console is not called SEView anymore. Now it's called App Diagnostics. And now you may ask, how does it actually work under the hood? And the answer will be, this is profiling. So your .NET application is run. The Common Language Runtime verifies the register whether the profiler should be started for your application. And if your application has been added to APM Monitor, the register key will contain information about PMonitor Profiler, the APM agent itself. So the PMonitor dynamic library will be loaded inside the process of your application, so it shares the memory, it shares the processor time resource utilization. And after that, it reads the configuration, the set of configuration files, which says what exactly you want to monitor, what exact request should be instrumented, and with what details level. After that, from global assembly cache, several additional dynamic libraries are being loaded. And these dynamic libraries are used for instrumentation of your request and data collection. So in runtime execution, your own application loads its own dynamic libraries. And after that, the application is requested. If current requests are among the settings, among the configuration settings to be monitored, this request will be instrumented. And now, if it struggles with any performance violation, saying if it exceeds specified threshold, or is there are any exception, failures, faults, appropriate event will be collected and sent out to management server. So you will get the statistics inside Ops Manager console, and you can go to App Diagnostics for drilling down. And now we came to main point, why we are talking about APM today. It's not new. As written here, it can be easily applied for different kinds of deployments. For example, you can use APM for both on-prem deployments, cloud. And when we are talking about cloud, we first of all, we mean IaaS, infrastructure as a service, because one of the prerequisites for APM is the ability to install System Center Agent 2012 and SP1. That's why we are talking about IaaS. And also you can use APM for hybrid deployments. And now I guess we came to the first demo. Where we're going to introduce and to show you the some kinds of configuration essentials and to show the how it actually works in real time. First of all, let's talk about the prerequisites. Once the one is mentioned, this is System Center Agent. Because along with System Center Agent 2012 installation, APM agent will be most likely deployed automatically. I say most likely because there are some exceptions. For example, if you are going to install System Center 2012 or SP1 agent to Windows Server 2003 box, APM agent won't be pushed because inside its launch conditions it has it verifies the OS version, and since it's not compatible with IS 6 anymore, unlike the previous version of standalone product, now it's only for IS 7 and above. That's why APM agent won't be installed. So the first of all, you need system center management server with different roles, web console role, reporting role, and of course database role. And on each application server, you need to put system center agent with APM agent. Okay, the next step we're going to show is to, on each application server, you need to enable and start System Center Management APM service, which is disabled out of box. So this is previously known as intercept service. So where you want to monitor your app, you should enable this service. And a few management pack prerequisites. First of all, we are talking about IS management pack, Windows Server management pack, and APM management pack itself. APM management pack currently has two versions, for IS 7 and IS 8. Depending on environment you use, you should import appropriate version. For current demo, we use IS 7 because our apps are hosted on Windows Server 2008 R2. And finally, when everything is done, you go to authoring and you will find new template. This is called .NET Application Performance Monitoring Template. So this is the starting point for configuration. Okay, let's take a look at this template. You see, we have some configuration in place. We will come back to this soon, but I'm just want to start show you from the beginning. So you need to specify name. This name will be used for the application group, or in more SCOM-like terms, that will be distributed application. Name can be any. Description also can be kept blank, and the destination management pack. As usual, you need to store your configuration in some management pack, and it's a good practice to use separate management pack for each configuration, just in order to provide convenient management. You just can delete settings by deleting management pack, and you can filter this. Okay, now come back to what we have in lab. You see, it contains several tabs. On the first tab, what to monitor, we specify the application added to server-side monitoring. On our test lab, we have the distributed application, which is called Talking Heads. This is some kind of social network app. This is written for .NET 4, and it's explicitly intended for demonstration purpose of APM features. It contains three tiers. Talking Heads, the ASP.NET application which interacting with end users, the Talking Heads mid-tier, just web source wrapping all the logic. And also we have the SQL database, but we are not going to demonstrate SQL management pack today. That's why it's out of scope. Okay, how to add new application? You see, two of them are added already. You just click Add. You just pick up the type, web application services and Windows services. And when we are talking about Windows services monitoring, which is introduced in SP1, first of all, in order to make them appear in this list, by clicking search, the discovery process will be done. It searches for all the applications on System Center Agent and Management Server itself inside this management group. But in order to populate this view with Windows services, first of all, you need to add your Windows service to Windows Service Monitoring, this one. After that, it will be available in this template. Okay, you just click select one and to click add. Here you can specify environment. This is just tag to differentiate the all the kinds of environment, staging, test, production, and so on. And the target groups. Target groups are also used to differentiate the configuration settings. If it's empty, like in current way, the current configuration will be applied to all the application discards, regardless where they are, on-prem, in cloud, or hybrid. You just also click Customize. To customize configuration settings, we're not going to stick much on this. Just I would like to refer you to TechNet. It contains all information about all the features here. And we also switch to server-side defaults. So these configurations, also containing the advanced settings, will be applied to all the applications added inside these application groups by default. So these settings will be applied for both Tolkienhurst, Tolkienhurst, Meteor. And if you want to override some settings, you just click Customize. And now we came to client-side monitoring. You see, now we can check, we can enable client-side monitoring only for one application. For server-side, we have two applications. Because client-side is only for the ASP.NET applications, which interact with end users. As usual, I will talk a bit later about this checkbox. First of all, just as usual, you need to customize the settings or to use default, which will be applied to all of them. You just may verify the settings in summary page and click OK. So the configuration is done. And now you need to distribute the monitoring configuration to the application server. Of course, you can just wait. But the discovery interval is rather high. It's about 4 hours. And surely you can go and override the settings, but I don't think it's a good practice, at least for production. But currently we have test environment. And in order to initialize the discovery process, we just can go to application server and to restart system center management service. So the application discovery will be done. It will find your application, which are added to server-side monitor, and it will request the configuration to be applied. And finally, just in order to apply the monitoring, you need to execute ISReset on the application box. Now let's take a look at the views APM is coming with. You will find application monitoring. First of all, the applications view. This is so-called 360-degree monitoring view. It was originally introduced in SP1, and you see it provides all the metrics about average response time for the distributed application. Availability, performance, reliability, and I must admit that it's based not only on APM. It's only based of web application availability monitor and GSM. Islam will be talking about a little bit later. And now let's take a look at specific entities. Active alert, we have some of them. Just let's click to give you an idea what it brings. And it says you that specific transaction has exceeded the threshold. So we have the performance problem. In our test lab, we have rather low threshold. Don't use this in production. And we have throttling settings set to very high values. So the throttling is optimization feature which limits the number of requests, number of events being reported, just to prevent from performance overhead. If you click this link, appropriate event will be open in app diagnostics, and you will be able to drill down. But we will take a look at this a bit later. So, several views for discovery inventory. This is for IS7 we use. This is for IS8, IS8, and WCF hosted services. Coming back to IS7, we have a great option here. Check client-side monitoring compatibility. You know, client-side monitoring requires some code injection. So, when you configure client-side monitoring for your app, first of all, the additional component CSM collector will be pushed under the same website your application resides under. So the request reaches IIS. The APM agent is enabled and started. And it started to request and started instrumented your application. But if your application was added also to client-side monitoring before sending response to end-user browser, the response will be injected with additional JavaScripts, which are being downloaded by the CSM collector path. Those JavaScripts are executed on the browser side. They form statistic package. If there are any performance violations on browser side or exception, for example, exception in JavaScript execution, this package will be sent back to CSM collector, and CSM collector posts it back to management server. Usually, client-side events contain all the information about the network availability, about the network time, server-side time, client-side time, synchronous and asynchronous JavaScripts, page content, channel level, and so on. Huge number of interesting information. But it's not very good to enable client-side monitor without checking out. Before enabling this, you need to click one of the applications you are going to enable client-side monitor and to execute this task. Because it will examine the source code of your application for potential incompatibilities with client-side monitoring. You know, in some cases, client-side monitoring may behave unpredictable if you enable this for unsupported application. And this is not the worst case. Even much more worse when your application behave unpredictable on the client side. And we don't need so kind monitoring if it spoil your application. That's why just execute this task. Okay, now let's go further and we'll take a look at the distribute application level. As usual, we have active alerts, some of them critical, some of them are just warnings. We have the diagram view. This is not brought out of box, and it provides, but it can be easily deployed, easily implemented here, and it provides you the health state of different levels with health state roll-up. Currently, everything is healthy. And you have the entire health state for the application group components, talking heads mid-tier. And you have the performance data, the statistics base of .NET apps, everything about the number of requests, number of performance and exception violation, percentage of violation, and so on. And overall components health state with alerts for the separate instances. You see that Talking Heads is deployed to two of our boxes. One of them is the management server itself, and another one is persistent virtual machine in Azure. And also, you have the same for transactions, health state and alerts. Now we are going to generate some logs. Let's switch back to the tool. We have written some tool log generator, which emulates user activity against the application. And some of requests will go well, and some of them will struggle with performance or exception problems with some. Okay, now it spins the Talking Heads instance deployed to Azure. And now we go to console for drilling down. This one is App Diagnostics. In order to refresh the view, we click Search. It will take a while. We are going to show that we started receiving events just in runtime. And now let's take a look at some of them. For example, events can be divided into two main groups, performance, and exception. In its own turn, exception events can be critical, unhandled, which also usually causes the application failure, and handled, which are handled inside your source code. Now let's take a look at some of them. This is exception, critical exception event of server side. Client side events are differentiated with the client label in gaps. So now let's take a look at the events. It contains information it came from, it contains the exception event rethrown steps, the exception event itself, the exception object itself, and the most problem, the most interesting thing, it contains the stack. And if you see, one of the calls in stack is marked with red box. That means that we have the problem inside this call. Exception events are read from the bottom to top, unlike performance events. Also, exception events contains information about similar events corresponding to the same problem, related events, all the events which were reported in specific time interval, distributed chains. For example, sometimes the problem can be distributed on different levels, on the web service level or the ISP.NET level. And performance counters. You know, some of the problems can be caused not only by your code. For example, your application box is running out of memory, and your application receives the timeout exception. We collect this exception with APM. It's reported. But you know, what's the root of this problem? You go to performance counters, and you see that the process priority bytes is running out of memory, something like this, or the processor time is close to 100%. Okay, now let's take a look at another type of events, at performance event. I just need to filter. I know that it will contain rather interesting stack, or not event ID, but description. And let's take a look at the event. Just to give you an idea, what's the client-side events? This one. It contains information about the pages, about the internet channel, network latency, and so on, channel quality, the request execution on the browser side, where we have parts for the network request, for the server response, some DOM loading, and so on. But now we're going to take a look at server-side events firstly. And okay, let's find another one. For example, no, this doesn't contain the stack. Only status recently reported. Okay, this contains the stack. So this is performance event. First of all, performance events are read from the top. We have the request, regular request of ISP.NET. This one is process request for the status.ispx page. You see, this is called the entry point. So this is request itself. And we have the duration. Currently, we have low threshold. That's why we have this one reported, though it didn't take much. And for entry points, we have runtime arguments. And inside the stack, we can pinpoint what exactly took so much. And we can see that there are some WCF calls, which took more than 100 milliseconds. For these reasons, we collect it also in stack. There are two types of stack calls. First of all is methods, resource, which require additional instrumentation, and you have runtime arguments for them as well as for the entry points. And also, but we don't see it currently in stack, there are time only. For time only, we grab only execution time. And as usual, the corresponding information is above, and the same tabs we have. The APM brings also statistics. You can switch to computer to take a look at general configuration and resource utilization. We're not going to stick much on this. We don't have much time, and we have lots of materials to demonstrate today. So we just can switch between configuration and resource utilization. All those metrics about CPU time, memory, input-output bytes, and application loads, all kinds of statistics. And almost the same statistics we have for application level. Monitored request, average request time, exception events, and so on. You know, lots of interesting information are retained out of scope currently. For example, the App Advisor reports, the integration with TFS introduced in SP1. When you get APM alert and you can easily assign this problem to corresponding team, and appropriate operation issue will be created automatically in TFS. Also, you can debug APM exception events with IntelliTrace, which most of developers guys are familiar with. And we are not going to talk much about the configuration. Just take a look at TechNet. So I think that's all with the APM today, and we will go further.
Thanks, man.
So Igor came and explained what's APM, and all the knowledge that actually we acquired from the explanation about APM today, we'll actually use it later on in the demos. So today, actually, I'm going to talk about the Azure Management Pack that has been released, I believe, in the last day in MMS. Anyone used to use the old Azure Management Pack? Let's start this. Anyone using Azure today? Awesome. Anyone using EC2? Perfect. So both people actually that they're actually using Azure and EC2 today, you'll be able to monitor all your infrastructure and all your application after we finish our demo using the two management packs from one single point of view from here. So the Azure Management Pack, the new one today actually, it has been really simplified in the configuration. I mean, when you compare between the old one and the new one, you'll see a huge difference. And maybe if you didn't see the old one, so don't bother, use this one, it's actually better. So it also offers cloud service monitoring. It also virtual machine monitoring availability. Now, actually, when you push and actually deploy virtual machine in Azure, you'll be able to monitor them using SCOM. Storage accounts monitoring, so very much the blob services, if you have blob services, tell you if it's up or down. And very much if your storage account is down, it's very much your infrastructure is down because you don't have storage. Two, certificate health monitoring. In order actually to configure, and I will show you how to do this, in order to configure the Azure Managed Pack, you need to have a certificate to authenticate between your Ops Manager and Azure for credential. And it'll tell you if the certificate is healthy or not. Then the Azure Distributed Application, and this is actually Igor will go more in detail on this, then new monitoring dashboard. Similar to the dashboards that we have in APM today, we'll see a beautiful dashboard for the service variability, capacity, topology, and so on. So I'll take you for a demo on how to set up the Azure Management Pack. Then I'll switch gear with Igor quickly to show you how we do this. All right. Perfect. So if you have SCOM today and you don't have Azure Management Pack, you will not see the Windows Azure that you see it here. But after you run the EXE and you import the managed packs, actually it creates the object for Windows Azure. And these actually are two subscriptions that I'm using them, right? Luckily, both of them will expire tomorrow. Right? So, and also, as I mentioned, actually, if you go here and you say update certificate, then actually you go with the GUID for this and you update certificate if you would like to update certificate for this subscription. Or you add subscription, and from your Amazon subscription or the Azure portal that you already set up and you're paying for, you'll be able to get the subscription GUID, then you upload the certificate, right? After you do that, If you go to monitoring, you will see that actually we have a new monitoring capabilities under, hopefully I'll be under, here you go. I just missed it.
Windows Azure.
Sorry?
Windows Azure.
Yeah. So we'll be able to get more capabilities about active alerts in my cloud in Azure or the server state or so on. So in the beginning, actually, when you push this and you make the connection between your Azure subscription and your ops manager, very much the management pack go and do discovery and that's it. No more, no less. So actually, when you go and discover all what you have, like the cloud services and storage, right, and virtual machines. From here, you cannot do anything until actually Igor come and push some buttons and configures the managed pack and hands him out. I will switch a gear here with Igor, and Igor will show you how to configure the managed pack in order to monitor your application running here. Maybe we forgot to do that. Actually, we have two applications. One is running on on-prem, right? And same application, actually, we take it and run it on the cloud services, right? And just to show you the monitoring capabilities. So Igor will come now and show you how we configure the management pack.
Okay, as Aslam said, currently we added some subscription to monitoring. So discovery process is done. But it's only discovered, not monitored yet. If you go to authoring, you will find additional template. This template is very straightforward and easy. It's something like next, okay, click, and picking up. Let's take a look. First of all, before starting, the template, you need to specify, this step is missed here. You need to specify to pick up the subscription you want to monitor. So you have the name, description, everything as usual, and the destination management pack. Also, you need to specify what cloud services or hosted services you want to monitor. Just click add, you just pick up the slot, deployment slot, or production slot or staging we use on the production, click search, and to add everything as usual. The same we have for virtual machines and for storage accounts. Okay, the template is very easy. We click OK and it finishes. But in order to get all the capabilities of Azure Management Pack, you need to know five main points. So you have the application implementing some web and worker roles. In order to grab different all kinds of performance metrics, you need to implement those collection inside the onStart method for your web and worker roles. So we go to Visual Studio. You need to download Azure SDK. You write your application. You add diagnostic metrics collection inside onStart method. In our particular case, we have the application which collects processor time and memory for us. That's the first step. The second step is to enable diagnostic at all. This is just a checkbox. You go to the properties of web and worker role, and you just check this option. You know, guys, we have everything in place here, but if you only have some specific questions, we will demonstrate this part. By this time, we will have specified everything we want to grab, but also we need to store the data anywhere, right? For these purposes, we need to create additional storage account. After it's done, we need to copy down the pair storage account name and access key. And also, we need to specify this pair storage name and access key inside the properties. So the data will be stored inside the storage account. Also, we need to add your cloud service, hosted service, along with all the corresponding components as a Azure Distribute application. We have additional template for these purposes. We go to Distribute application, and we have, for example, this one. Check it up. It's based on the cloud service, but it also has different types of SQL database level, client-side perspective. It's not populated, but for client-side perspective, we may use, for example, Web Application Monitoring or Global Service Monitoring. Why should you use this? Why should you add your application as a distributed application? In order to populate some of them, some of Azure Management Pack views. And also, it's a great variant to have this when you have the hybrid deployment. When some of the components, say the SQL database on some client-side perspective are not deployed on your cloud service, but can be on-prem, and client-side perspective even can be worldwide in Azure. And the final step we need to implement is to make sure that appropriate rules responsible for data collection, for performance metric collection, are enabled. You go to Windows Azure Role Instance Rules and just to enable all of them. Now let's switch to monitoring pane and let's take a look at the views. As usual, we have active alerts. And some of them were generated. Let's take a look. This one complains that one instance of web application, web role instance, is running out of memory. And that's why it notifies you you have memory problem. This is for active alerts. Almost the same view is for all alerts for last 24 hours. The only one difference is it shows you not only the active alerts, but also closed as well. You have the server state with different dashboards views, just switching availability dashboard, capacity dashboard with resource utilization, network vicinity dashboard, and so on. As usual, you can drill down in Health Explorer and to check out the health state rollup, the rollup from web and worker role instances up to web and worker roles, up to deployments and distribute application finally, and your cloud servers. Okay, as Islam mentioned, we have several discovered entities, cloud services, storage, virtual machines, deployments, role instances, roles, subscriptions. And almost the same we have for the monitored resources. Just let's take a look at some of them is in warning state, and we can check out why it's in this state. Once again, because the corresponding web and worker roles are running out of memory, the same problem. Now let's switch to performance view. As I mentioned, in source code of web and worker roles, we implemented to collect processor time and memory. That's why we expect these metrics populated here. We have for memory, and we have for processor time. You should be aware, in order to grab these metrics, that you implement them in source code and the rules are enabled. I think that's all. We are done with the short overview of Azure Management Pack, and Islam will go on and talk about another interesting monitoring approach.
Sure.
GSM.
Yeah. Thanks, Igor. I believe I just switched gear quickly, and we only have 17 or 15 minutes left, and I'd like to get the chance to Chris on link to talk more about the EC2 monitoring. And after we finish just EC2 monitoring, I will be able to show you the 360-degree GSM monitoring so you can actually apply the monitoring for both Azure and EC2 at the same time. Chris, are you still online?
Yes. Can they see the deck?
All right.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to go through the opportunity and goals for the Amazon Web Services Management Pack. The thing that we wanted to present was, we wanted to demonstrate that the System Center Operations Manager could manage any workload of any application in any cloud. Like I touched on in the beginning, we work with Viacode to develop this Management Pack for Operations Manager. And it doesn't just manage EC2. EC2, as we know, is the cornerstone service that AWS offers. It also manages service components such as EBS, Elastic Load Balancing, CloudFormation, Autoscaling, and Elastic Beanstalk. And, this allows enterprises who are leveraging System Center Operations Manager today, whether they're on-premise or in Amazon EC2, to manage these services based on the flexibility of Operations Manager. We advance to the next slide. Thank you. So the problem was that it needed to manage the instances. It needed to, let's go back. We are jumping ahead a little bit too far. Go back to, okay, perfect. So it needed to manage other AWS components, and the real difficulty and the challenge was that it needed to be able to distinguish between the computer operating system, the applications that are running on top of the operating system, and the actual EC2 instance itself. That is where I think a lot of the work went into, in terms of distinguishing between the object model of where the instance was and how it was to be able to distinguish between that, because Operations Manager natively was not aware of any infrastructure underneath the operating system, the application layer. So customers, current AWS customers, that were also Microsoft Enterprise customers, had to go to the AWS console and manage their AWS infrastructure and also Operations Manager in conjunction to manage the applications and the operations roles. So what we wanted to do was really combine those roles, moving on to the next slide, to discover the instances, be able to manage the Elastic Block Stores, map to those instances for storage, manage the Elastic Load Balancers that are in front of the infrastructure, and then manage CloudFormation Stacks, which is Amazon's ability to provision multiple instances together at the same time. So the way that we're actually able to do this, and what really the manager pack is it's basically a list of existing API that will capture CloudWatch. CloudWatch is a monitoring service that Amazon provides, and it will take those metrics from CloudWatch, Amazon CloudWatch, and through the Amazon SDK, the API, connect that back to Operations Manager to be able to publish that data within the Operations Manager console. So really, it discovers, and what we call linking, the Amazon EC2 instances and the operating systems together to understand how the instance health is doing through CloudWatch, and how the NoWorld operating system and application stack is doing, leveraging existing Microsoft management packs. So only EC2 instances running System Center, the Operations Manager agent, will be able to participate, and then 2012 Operations Manager, and then most recently 2007 R2 are now supported. So how are we able to make this separation? So the monitoring in Operations Manager for Amazon, is broken up into really three levels. The first level is level zero, the infrastructure level. This is where the CloudWatch components are actually going through and discovering or publishing that data through the SDK, through their Operations Manager management server, to be able to capture the infrastructure components, and that's where the management pack really was needed to manage this infrastructure. The level one OS and applications was traditionally where Microsoft had strength in managing the operations OS and applications. What we were able to do is we were able to link the level zero and the level one entities together to understand how we could differentiate between what is a CloudWatch metric that's being captured from Amazon and what is a basic alert and a reporting metric that is being captured from Operations Manager, and bring those two together so we can intelligently report upon that. And then level two services could be any surface health, the model and operations manager. So that could be the dependencies that exist between cloud formation, elastic load balancing, applications running on the operating system, really giving you, the end user and operations manager, the ability to see the entire stack running in EC2 and any AWS service. I'm going to spend probably a lot of my time here on the architecture. Sorry, it's a little bit slow. So the solution is architected as follows. We have our SCOM management servers that are either resident in EC2 or resident in on-premise, the customer's premise, as demonstrated down here. And what it could actually do is, through the AWS SDK, that API, it will actually leverage the Watcher node with an operations manager to connect to the Amazon cloud. And these are the various services that can be managed today: elastic load balancing, EC2, EBS, cloud formation, CloudWatch, and any sort of alarms. So it's able to separate in terms of understanding and discovering the instances based upon the IAM, the Amazon authentication scheme. So based upon a user, it will discover, based upon the user's authorization and credentials, find out, based on their account, the number of instances and the number of services that that user or that organization has running, and will discover those resources based upon the account credentials that they have. Once it discovers all those services that are running, it can then leverage the agent running on those instances, Amazon instances and services associated with those instances in EC2, to report that back to operations manager via the agent and via the standard agent reporting model back to the operations manager server, whether it's on-premise or EC2. So it really gives you a full-fledged understanding of, not only are we looking at the compute stack, we're looking at the provisioning stack. With CloudFormation, we're looking at the load balancing for scale. We're looking at the EBS volume for disk space. And CloudWatch today, which is an existing alarm and alerting system that Amazon has, but it's capturing all that into a central console and operations manager. So the state view is probably the most frequently used. It gives you the ID, name, region. It will give you EC2 and VPC resources. EC2, their compute cloud, public compute cloud, and VPC, virtual private cloud. Basically, they give you the firewall separation to give you a private cloud. It will also manage Windows as well as Unix-based instances with or without a SCOM agent. But to get the reporting and to get the detailed discovery of those instances, you do need an agent, and it will give you start, stop, reboot, RDP access, and then be able to open the AWS console should you need to actually gain access to the console to do work on your servers. So what I'll do So this is the management console, the state view within operations manager today, and it's giving you really a view of all the instances that are actually running. It's giving you the state view, the state health of whether it's healthy, whether it's down, whether it's an alert state, the name of the instance itself, the instance ID, which is a unique AWS Amazon designation. The instance ID is based upon the Amazon AMI, Amazon machine image, their virtual machine image, that instance was run on behalf of. The region, or really the data center by which that instance is running. It would also manage the availability groups or availability zones within those regions. And then the platform, the operating system by which is running on that instance. And that's where that level 0, level 1 translation from the management package is actually comes into play, understanding what's running Windows, and if it's running Windows, what is the health of Windows based upon the management pack, and the health of the instance state based upon the management pack for Amazon. And any security group based upon the IAM account at Amazon that are associated with those instances and them running, and then private DNS IP information. So it really gives you a lot of information based upon that. And the right-hand side, you can see you can start up the alert view, the diagram view, and then you can start up an RDP session, start and stop a server, pause a server, and then on the left-hand side, of course, showing you all the various management packs that have been imported, in this case, the Amazon Web Services pack that have been imported here. So this is really, I guess, the best way to really demonstrate how it's really aggregating a lot of that very useful information that our joint Microsoft Enterprise customers, as well as Amazon customers, are leveraging today. Really wanting them to show that our System Center stack, starting with Operations Manager, and potentially in the future, can extend into other clouds. And this really is the best way to demonstrate that. So this is the health view. So what did it actually do? It was actually do a status check and roll up to the various instances. And in this case, we're looking at an EC2 instance state check. Go back. So it's easy to detect hardware and network failures. The OS or app level health can actually be rolled up to the instance. So what it's actually doing, apologize. What it's actually doing is based upon the OS or app level health, it will roll up to the instance that is actually running within that health. And if the instance has a SCOM agent or a SCOM has an operating system, it can actually report upon that. Any hardware availability group roll-up, system operating system availability roll-up, computer health roll-up, and local application health roll-up. So really using all the standard health views within Operations Manager are applicable here. So moving on to the next slide, in the diagram view, like I just showed you a second ago, inadvertently, it will give you the entire stack. And what I mean by stack is the instance, the Elastic Load Balancer, any Elastic Block Store or the storage linkage. It would give you great visualization along with a health rollup in terms of all the dependencies that are running within that instance, and all the services that are running within that instance. So this is what the diagram view looks like. So we have a WordPress site, and it's actually giving you a WordPress health status check. It's giving you a WordPress Elastic load balancer status. Specifically down here, any sort of dependency on the Elastic Load Balancer that's mapped to that secondary WordPress CloudFormation stack. And then, now that we know what the overall stack is, this is actually spanning two different availability zones within Amazon themselves. So we have an Amazon EC2 instance in US East 1B and US East 1C, their Northern Virginia data centers. And beneath those instances, we have a WordPress site as well as an Elastic Block Store volume mapped to each of those instances. So what we're all used to in Operations Manager today, showing you how it's capturing those services and giving you a rich diagram view of all the dependencies that make up that various service, Operations Manager was able to do that. So I think I'm going to round this out here. These are the various CloudWatch metrics that are captured, which is really the Amazon Management Pack by itself is really just capturing these metrics that exist today in Amazon. What really make the Management Pack effective and what really give it that completeness is integrating it with all of the other Management Packs that Operations Manager comes with, natively from Microsoft and the other 150 that we have from our partner ecosystem that Amazon is now a part of. So in and of itself, the Management Pack for CloudWatch gives you just the Amazon stack, which is interesting, but it doesn't give you the entire picture. It only gives you the entire picture when you look at the overall health OS, the applications running within those health of the operating system itself, and marrying that up with the Amazon data that is being provided today. So I think what I'll do, since we are getting down to time, is I'll turn it back over to Islam. If there's any questions, please reach out to Islam and Igor. I would be happy to answer them for you.
Thanks, Chris. I believe with that, I just would like to take 2 seconds to show you one of the cloud offering that we have today, which we call GSM. Looks like I'm running out of time. I just would like to show you that, and I see the room manager just waving and saying finish. So as we talked about actually monitoring both cloud services, Azure and EC2, you'll be able also to monitor your stuff, those both environments from one single point of view. And this is only a summary for your services that's running and from one common place that tell you what's your services doing and so on. I don't know why it doesn't show metrics. Here you go. So as you see, actually, I'm able to monitor my application either from multiple geo, 16 different geo points to tell me what's my uptime and so on. As you see, my application is responding from, I believe, Los Angeles was 0.86, and I'll be able to put threshold on this and say, oh, my customer's actually in Los Angeles. They have trouble to view my application or so on. So that actually wraps up my session today. Please feel free to evaluate our session. As always, my jokes say, if you like it, go ahead and evaluate it. If you don't like it, don't bother. So, I'm kidding. So any questions, I'll be outside in the hall with Igor or in the booth in the application performance monitoring, or just feel free to reach out to me. Thank you very much.